Hello, and welcome to Nitwit, Rantings of a Rabid Knitter, a storytelling podcast with occasional knit bits. My name is Carrie, a.k.a. Autumn Breeze, and this is episode 54, Snow and Ice. Before we get to today's story, I've got to give you a couple of bits of updates on last week's story. I have gotten the dreaded callback. This is perfectly normal and happens a lot of the time. I do fret about it a little bit, but I'm going to have to go to the hospital and have a couple of more images made. I was complaining to a coworker of mine about the convoluted nature of this whole thing. You see, Rex, the hospital, sent a letter to my doctor, and my doctor gave the letter to the referral specialist, and the referral specialist calls me and says, Rex needs to see you again. When would it be convenient for me to make the appointment? Which I'm going, can't I just do that myself? And she said, oh, yes, of course. So I call Rex. And the first thing they ask me is, which breast? My coworker looks at me and says, does it really matter? And I thought, no, you're right. I was planning on bringing both of them with me. The coworker said, no. Isn't the equipment the same for both of them? And I said, yeah, you're right. But anyway, it's the left boob that's causing the problems. It must have jiggled or moved, or maybe it had its eyes closed for the picture. I don't know what, but in a couple of weeks, I'm going to go back and get some more images made, and I will keep you up to date on what's going on with that. But like I said, this is perfectly normal. This has happened to me now half of the times in which I have gotten my mammogram done, so I know it's no big deal, but at the same time, as another person said to me, you know, those quiet moments in which you have nothing else to think about, it comes niggling back in your mind and goes, oh, shoot, you gotta go back and get your boob smushed again, which is so true. But anyway, let's get on with today's story. I went to college in Idaho, and then I went and I got my master's degree at Pocatello, Idaho. And Pocatello is famous for its snow and cold, cold winters. It's right on the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, and it gets a good blast of winter there. I grew up in Texas, mostly. We moved around a lot in Texas, but I mostly lived in the Southwest, so I wasn't acclimated to this kind of weather. And even the town that I went to college in, we would have a little bit of snow, and then it would go away because we were further away from the Rockies and more in a high desert area. So Pocatello was a bit of a shock to me. And I decided that the next college I was going to attend was going to be warmer. I got accepted at North Carolina, and I was pretty much decided I was going to go there. I figured the weather would be a little bit better, but just I wanted to ask the question, how's your snow there? And the person I asked said, oh no, we rarely get snow here, and if it snows, it only lasts for a day. What they failed to tell me about was the ice. Oh, the ice storms that North Carolina gets are horrendous, and I had never experienced anything like that before. We will get a coating of ice a quarter of an inch to an inch thick on everything, and it's beautiful to look at, but damn dangerous. Plus, everyone around here really doesn't know how to drive in any of the winter weather stuff. So I figured out rather quickly that if it snows or if it ices, you just stay home. This story takes place in one of those winter weather incidents. And I had been living in North Carolina for 5 or 6 years. I was working at the university. My method of getting to work was the bus. So if it snowed or iced, I knew that the bus was not going to run, and I just slept in and enjoyed a day off. It was one of those mornings in which the day before they were predicting snow and ice. Right when my alarm went off, I looked out the window, and sure enough, it was nasty outside, so I turned off the alarm and I snuggled down for a nice snooze. Well, obviously other people didn't have my same work ethic, because a few minutes later I heard this, which is someone trying to drive their car out of the snow and ice and not knowing how to do it. I can't sleep through that. And I got a little perturbed, so I decided, well, I'll just go fix it for them. I don't sleep in anything. This has been a habit of mine for many, many years. Back when I was a child, I more or less couldn't stand having nightgowns on and would always rip them off. First thing I have to do is put clothes on. Well, just because I don't sleep in nightgowns doesn't mean I don't own them, because I like to lounge around in my nightgown. I put on a flannel nightgown that is clear down to my ankles. I throw on a pair of socks. I go downstairs. I put on my duck boots, which are rubber boots with leather tops. And I grab my downy coat and I put on a hat because, oh my God, do I have serious bed hair. And I'm about to walk out the door with the bag of cat litter and the bottle of salt when Wayne looks at me and says, "Don't you think you should put on some clothes?" And I said, "I've got clothes on. I'm covered from head to toe. How more covered could I be?" And I stomp on out there. There was another gentleman out there trying to help the gentleman who was stuck, trying to get him out. So the two of us split up the cat litter and the salt, and we were spreading it around in front of the tires, and he was almost out, but we needed to put some more litter in the back passenger side. So I go walking around the back of the car and I hit a patch of black ice, and I go flying up in the air and land flat on my back with my nightgown covering my face. And I lay there for a moment because I've just had the wind knocked out of me. Then I hear this, "Are you okay?" In which I push the nightgown down and I said, "Yes, I'm fine." And he goes, "Here's your hat." So I take my hat, I put it back on. We put cat litter on that one last tire, and he is out and going. Now this neighbor, who has now seen me in all of my glory, says absolutely nothing to me, leaving me with just a touch of dignity. I grab the litter and the salt, and I go clumping back upstairs, knowing that I am now going to have to take a shower because I am soaking wet and a little bit cold. When I walk through the door, Wayne says to me, told you so. Thank you for coming by and letting me tell you a story. If you have any comments about this story or any of my other stories, please come by the website, which is autumnbreezedesigns.com, or if you would rather send me an email, my email address is Carrie, and that's Carry, autumnbreeze@gmail.com. I have a voicemail number. If you would rather talk to me, then write to me. My number is 206-666-5775. Thank you, and I hope you have a great week. Take care. Bye.